Almighty and everlasting God, by the baptism of your beloved Son, you manifested your triune nature and your will to save us. May we remember our own baptism so that we may daily die to sin and walk to newness of life through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
First lesson for this evening is from Isaiah chapter 42, beginning with verse 1. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 29 is our psalm, which we read responsibly. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods.
Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name.
Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders.
The Lord is upon the mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice.
The voice of the Lord is a voice of splendor.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees.
The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon skip like a calf.
And Mount Hermon like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord splits the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness.
The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe.
And strips the forest bare.
And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying glory. The Lord sits enthroned above the flood.
The Lord sits enthroned as king forevermore.
The Lord shall give strength to his people.
The Lord shall give his people the blessing of peace.
The second lesson is from Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. According to St. Matthew, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him, and behold, a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Well, grace and peace and mercy be with each of you from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. If I was to give you a sermon title, I would tell you it is Secret Identity. Secret Identity. Now, obviously, this Sunday is the baptism of our Lord, and if you were to come and worship with us in St. Charles tomorrow, I'm actually doing a baptism, hey, of a little boy by the name of Everett Eugene. I like these new names that they're giving kids, right? They're pulling those old names back and they're repurposing them again, right? I just love that. But the thing of it is it is God that says, hey, Everett, I am calling you by name. You are mine, right? Now, I'm not sure how many football fans we have here. Last Sunday was terrible for the Vikings and the Packers. We were not even going to go there. However, I don't know if you watched Monday Night Football. How many of you watched Monday Night Football? It was quite a tragic event, don't you think? Buffalo Bill football player by the name of DeMar Hamlin had this rare hit and immediately fell down. They came in, they were resuscitating him, trying to get him, to live again, so to speak. And all these big players, these football players, what were they doing? They were crying. And it was really a great moment from the standpoint of, finally we realize that these people aren't machines, that they're human beings. And the other great thing is, when these tragedies always happen, God always shows up, right? Here you got all these people praying. It was just awesome. And then all these fans, once they heard that the game was canceled, what did they do? Many of them went over to the hospital and started prayer vigils 24/7. And then the next day on the news, one of the sportscasters, they never talk about religion, right? It's always poo-poo, right? Guy goes, you know what, I feel like I want to pray for him. And everybody goes, yeah, do it. And he did. It was awesome. Awesome. You see, DeMar Hamlin is a child of God. A child of God. Now, a number of years ago, probably about 5 years ago, I had the privilege of meeting this lady by the name of Elizabeth Smart. Does that ring a bell? Elizabeth Smart. I got to spend a whole day with her. I'm going to recall your memory. So back in 2002, She lived in Salt Lake City. She was a young girl. She had gone. Parents had put her to bed. And lo and behold, someone came in the middle of the night and abducted her. And the guy that abducted her, his name was Brian David Mitchell. He was a deranged messianic drifter. And what they did is they took Elizabeth and they took her back out into the woods, deep into the woods, and they just brutalized her. Not only was it Brian that brutalized her, but it was also his wife, Wanda. So for 9 months, we didn't know if she was alive or not, until finally she was identified and she was set free. Now, that's kind of a quick overview of the story. But later on, and I actually got to fact check this with her, but they actually told the rest of the story in what they call Mother Jones Magazine. And I'm just going to read you what it said. Through the summer, Elizabeth's photo hung in every window and every shop and every lamppost. Her father and her family appeared regularly on local, national, and international news programs, begging and weeping for her safe return. It seems she was hidden somewhere far away, somewhere just beyond the broadcasting spectrum, or like in The Wizard of Oz, where Dorothy's family calls to her through the crystal ball. Then when she was found 9 months later, we realized, actually, that she had been right here in front of us all the time, walking around downtown, reading in the library, eating at fast food restaurants. They began coming into town by day, passing only a quarter of a mile away from Elizabeth's home, and no one figured it out that it was her. Think of that. When she was held captive, she could not cry out and let anybody know that, hey, this is me, I'm the one that's been abducted, because they told her, you say up, you peep, and we will kill you, and we will go back and kill your family. Those around her didn't know who she was, except for her captors. What's interesting, during this whole ordeal, she never forgot who she was. She never forgot who she was, even though they tried to change her. She knew her identity even when no one else recognized her. You know, what's interesting, about halfway through the gospel, we're in chapter 3 tonight, right? But you go to chapter 13, and Jesus is all about doing ministry, right? He's out healing the people. He's out there giving hope to the hopeless. He's also telling of eventual judgment, particularly those that are in power. And people are going like, who is this Jesus? They're whispering among themselves, and obviously Jesus knows what's going on. What is this Jesus up to? Who is he? And so what Jesus does is he gets his disciples away from the crowds, and he says, hey, who do people say that I am? You see, the people were absolutely clueless. They didn't know who this Jesus was. And then the disciples said, well, I don't know. Some people say that maybe you're John the Baptist reincarnated again, or maybe you're one of the prophets, the great prophets like Elijah. And then Jesus looks at each of them. He says, but who do you say that I am? And we know what happens next. It's always Peter, right? That anxious Peter, he's always sticking his foot in his mouth. He's always babbling. He's rather brash. He says to Jesus, you are the Son of Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looks at Peter and he goes, well, good answer. You're right. But Peter, you didn't come by this on your own. God told you who I was, so you could make that faith statement. To confirm that event that happened, in chapter 13, a little bit further on, we have the transfiguration, right? So Peter, James, and John, they go up with Jesus. He's transfigured. He turns white, right? And who do they see? They see Moses and Elijah. And they hear that good old booming voice that, yes, this is my son, my only son. So tonight, we're at the baptism of our Lord. You know, long before Peter ever made that profession of faith that you are the Son of the living God, Jesus had already known as who he was when he was baptized by John. And in Scripture, it kind of tells us what happens, right? You know, he goes to John, and John goes, whoa, you should be baptizing me, not you. You know, you're the teacher. Nope. We need to get this right. And when Jesus comes out of the water, right, it's God the Father speaking. It's the Holy Spirit, the dove, and there's Jesus, all three of them together, right? The Trinity. And the voice says, this is my son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus knew who he was. So I'm thinking, you know, from chapter 3 to chapter 13, Jesus is walking around from village to village, and sometimes he goes even into his own hometown, walking the streets that he grew up with. He knows who he is, but not everybody else does. Throughout time, he seems to be a stranger with the people that he loves. And what's always ironic in the Bible, the only people that really ever recognize Jesus, it's always the demons, right? It's always the demons. You see, there's a kind of a common motif, literal motif that happens in many of the books that we read or plays or movies that we see. And it's always the person, the star, they know who they are, but they can't reveal themselves yet. Do you know what I'm talking about? I think of the movie The Lord of the Rings. I don't know, do we have any fans that have watched The Lord of the Rings? There is Strider. His name is Strider. But he's secretly, he's a different name. He's Aragorn, and he's the heir to the throne of the humans. Or this one we can probably relate to even better, Clark Kent, Superman, right? And whenever Clark Kent is going to go into action, what does he do? He takes off his glasses, and he puts on his cape, and he does mighty things, right? And so whenever you watch one of his little movies, you know, sometimes he's like, he's a little anxious. He's always adjusting his glasses, and you're wondering, are you going to reveal yourself now, Clark? So as I was studying the scripture this week, a question kind of came to my mind. What would it be like to walk through the world this way, hidden, in plain sight, unrecognizable to the people that should know us or the people that should love us? What would that be like? And then I kind of came to the conclusion that we already know the answer. We already know the answer. We, each of us, travel the streets of our hometown or the hallways of our workplaces or the rooms in our homes with our true identity, most of the time unknown to the people that we love. You see, a lot of times we put masks on, right? And I blame this on Scandinavian upbringing, right? Whenever you get an accolade, you're kind of like, oh, no, that wasn't, that's no big deal, right? We never take it, like, hey, that was a good thing. And you go, yes, it was. We don't do that as Norwegians and Swedish, right? So we put that mask on. And we don't like to be criticized, right? At least I don't. You know, I think that's why in the Lutheran tradition, that's why we always have confession and forgiveness, right? It's between me and God. When our loved ones look at us, we know full well that they're usually just looking at our masks. A number of years ago, I had to read this book with a group. And when I first got the book, I'm going like, this is not going to be very good. It was entitled, Mistakes Were Made, But Not By Me. And it talks about why we justify foolish beliefs and bad decisions and hurtful acts. And I tell you what, it's really an excellent book. I would highly recommend it. Or I like those commercials on TV. And it's an insurance commercial. And I can't remember who's the one that sponsors it. But the one ad that I remember, I actually remember quite a few of them, but the one in particular is it's this couple. They're going out camping, and they're unpacking the car. And she looks at him and says, hey, did you pack the life jackets? You know what I'm talking about? And he's kind of like, well, and then they pull out this flag because she's accusing him of lying. And so they do that instant replay. And she was right. So note to men, women are always right. But remember those times in your life. What if the world really knew who you really were? That they could love you and rejoice with you, that you have these great gifts. And I think of people that, you know, they apply for a job, right? You send your resume in with all these other resumes, and you go, why didn't they pick me? Have you been there? It's like, I have a lot to offer. Pick me, but then they pick somebody else. Or you're dating somebody. Why don't they just pop the question, let's be done. We're made for each other. Or I think those other times when we are full of fear and disgust and we have those internal feelings that we really don't want other people to know about. I think of the times when we want to cry out our identity and be like Clark Kent and just take off those glasses and be Superman. Huh? Be the true people who we are. And also to admit the irony that the only ones who truly seem to know who we are always the demons. Right? The self-doubt. Let's ramp up the anxiety. We know you're weak. Yeah, the demons know your identity even when no one else does. And you know what? The demons always just kind of stir the pot. Except for tonight. And that's why I'm glad you're here tonight. And I hope you are glad that you're here tonight. Because you know what? There's a greater truth out there. This day of the baptism of our Lord, we are called to remember into whom we were baptized. We are called to remember into whom we were baptized. God spoke to Jesus and to his disciples, yes, this is my son, my beloved, whom I am well pleased. And so immediately everybody knew that Jesus was the Christ. But it also becomes our identity, right? We're Christian. And when we emerge from the waters of baptism, when we remember what Christ has done for us, we are reborn. Huh? We are reborn. Our true identity is in the baptism of our Lord. Now, like I said, tomorrow I'm doing a baptism. And chances are, when the little baby comes, Everett, he's probably going to be wearing a traditional gown, right? How many of you have traditional gowns that you passed on from generation to generation? I think that's cool. You know, and it's about taking family photos and the food and all that good stuff. But more importantly, it's a sacrament. It's about what God is doing in that child's life. In other words, he's going to tell Everett tomorrow, you are mine, you are a child of God. You can take off those darn glasses like Clark Kent, and you can be your true self all through life. Because of our true identity, we are sons and daughters of God, and we have all been marked with the cross of Christ forever. You see, that beauty is just etched into us. It beauty smooths out any ugliness that's in our lives. Its truth finally silences those demons. Right? And laughs at the demons going, ha ha, try it again. We've already won. Martin Luther, when he was struggling, you know, when I read Luther, I go, oh my God, that guy was under a lot of pressure, right? People are out to kill him, to burn him, to destroy him, to wipe him off the map. And Luther said, I am baptized. I am a child of God. So it turns out that when you came here this evening, maybe you really didn't truly know who you were. But we secretly thought that maybe we were both our best and our worst in moments. Or maybe we're neither an expert or a fraud or an angel or a monster or a beauty or the beast. The truth of us is far more simpler and actually more glorious and glamorous. You see, when we were baptized, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit on our brows, just as that dove enlightened Jesus. And so we can walk the streets of our hometowns and our neighborhoods and our hallways and our workplaces, and we can go into the rooms in our homes, and indeed, we can look in the mirror, and we can honestly say, hey, look at me, the real me. I am a child of God. I am beloved, and I am. And God is always with me, and he's always well pleased. Well, as good old Paul Harvey would say, and now the rest of the story. So Elizabeth Smart, how terrible tragedies she went through. Unbelievable. But she always knew who she was. She was a child of God. And she knew that. You see, she grew up Mormon, but later changed to become a Christian. And she's married, she has children. And I was in an assembly of about 400 people, and I was the only guy asking her religious questions. Because I thought, do you hate God? She goes, oh no. God was with me, right? I am a child of God. And she said, thank you, Jesus. And to that, you and I can say, amen, amen, amen. Let us join our voices as we sing our next hymn. I invite you to please rise and let us join our voices as we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Amen.
You may be seated for the prayers.
Called together by the power of the Holy Spirit, let us offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all those in need. Lord God, you call us by name and make us your own in the waters of baptism. Strengthen all those who are newly baptized, those who have affirmed their baptism, and those whose baptismal anniversary is this week. Give to them and to all the baptized the grace to trust in the resurrection of Christ, and through believing to have life in his name. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, as we meet together as a congregation, we give you thanks for all you have done among us in the previous year. Guide us by your word, so in our conversations and deliberations, we would work together in faith to strengthen and build up this congregation. Inspire us by your Spirit that we may be your witnesses and serve your will in this community and in the world. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, Scripture says that you have been our hope and trust from the days of our youth. We pray that you would be with young people, that they would feel your power and presence in their lives. Guide them through these difficult and confusing times and lead them on the path of faithfulness, that their lives may give you glory. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty, merciful God, heal our infirmities and those of loved ones we name aloud and silently in our hearts.
Dale.
We who cry out of the depths to you plead for your mercy. Grant us the forgiveness of your sin, of our sins, and help us to wait patiently in hope for your final salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
I invite you to please stand for the Great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks to you, gracious God, especially on this Sunday when we recognize the baptism of our Lord as well as our own baptisms. And gracious God, we thank you that we are all called your children. And that's something that we can call upon all through our lives. And so we praise your name and we join their unending hymn. Holy, we'll sing it, I guess. Merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. And in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me."
Amen.
And now let us join our voices as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory,